Hi, I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
Right now, we do not know where we will go. Tonight, we'll have to sleep in the street until morning comes. Then maybe we'll find a place, going around begging from one person and another.
Israeli military has blown up at least three high-rise residential buildings in Gaza City as Israel expands its operation to destroy the city and forcibly evict the city's 1 million residents who say they have nowhere safe to go. We'll go to Gaza for an update. Meanwhile, in Jerusalem, six people were killed this morning at a bus stop. Israel says the two shooters were from the West Bank. And we'll talk to the sister of an American Turkish citizen from Washington State who was shot dead by an Israeli soldier at a West Bank protest 1 year ago.
1 year ago today, my little sister was killed by the Israeli occupying forces in the West Bank as she stood peacefully for Palestinian freedom. She was unarmed, she was brave, and she believed so deeply in justice that she put her body on the line and they took her life.
But first to Georgia, where ICE officials carried out the largest enforcement operation in the agency's history when they arrested nearly 500 workers at the construction site of a Hyundai EV battery plant. Most arrested are Korean nationals.
I just heard about that a little while before the news conference, and I would say that they were illegal aliens, and ICE was just doing its job.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. The Israeli military has blown up at least three high-rise residential buildings in Gaza City as Israel expands its operation to destroy the entire city and forcibly evict its population of over 1 million residents. Many of the demolitions are being carried out by robots that place explosives inside homes. Israel's killed 32 Palestinians so far today. Officials say another 83 were killed over a 24-hour period ending Sunday. Residents of Gaza City say there's no safe place to go.
In regard to displacement, we were displaced before to the south. There were also martyrs there and bombardment. Wherever we went, there were bombardments from one area to another, from Rafah to Khan Yunis, from Khan Yunis to Deir al-Bala. There were bombardments everywhere. We later came here. It is all the same. All displacement is for nothing. It is enough.
This comes as Save the Children reports Israel's killed more than 20,000 Palestinian children over the last 23 months. This means at least one Palestinian child has been killed every hour on average by Israeli forces. The group said, quote, if the international community does not step up, an entire generation of children in Gaza will be lost, unquote. Meanwhile, another six Palestinians have died of starvation. That brings the total to almost 400, including 140 children who've starved to death. In Israel, an attack on a bus stop in occupied East Jerusalem has left six people dead, as many as 15 injured. At least one of the victims was a rabbi. Israeli authorities say they believe the attack was carried out by two Palestinians from the West Bank. Police said the attackers were both shot dead. In other news from Israel, the country's Supreme Court has ruled the government has failed to provide adequate food for Palestinians held in Israeli jails. The court ruled Israel must provide prisoners, quote, a basic level of existence, unquote. The ruling came in response to a petition filed by the Association for Civil Rights in Israel and the Israeli group Gisha. In London, police arrested nearly 900 people Saturday at a protest against the UK government banning the group Palestine Action under the Terrorism Act. It's now illegal for anyone in Britain to show support for Palestine Action. Protests against the ban have been mounting for weeks.
ordinary people who have never been on protest in their lives are, you know, reckoning with their conscience. They're thinking, I cannot keep sitting day in, day out in, on my sofa watching this abject horror and do nothing. And so the extraordinary thing is, you know, the images, the most powerful images we're seeing are of, you know, disabled, middle-aged, elderly white people being carted off by the police for the crime of saying, stop killing children.
In other protest news, organizers say over 110,000 people took to the streets of Brussels Sunday in a major pro-Palestine rally that came days after the Belgian government announced it'll soon recognize a Palestinian state and impose sanctions on Israel. Meanwhile, in Tunisia, thousands gathered Sunday to welcome boats carrying about 350 activists who are sailing to Gaza in an attempt to break the siege. Passengers on the flotilla include Nelson Mandela's grandson, the South African MP, Mandla Mandela.
Coming all the way from South Africa to participate in this is really a joy to once again be able to set sail and go and break the blockade in Gaza and end the siege, which has been going on for the past 18 years. And we hope that it will be received as such, because we are a peaceful people. We pose no threat. We are carrying humanitarian aid for our brothers and sisters.
On Saturday, President Trump threatened to send National Guard troops and ICE agents to Chicago, writing on social media, quote, Chicago about to find out why it's called the Department of War, a reference to his order to change the name of the Department of Defense. Trump also wrote, quote, I love the smell of deportations in the morning, unquote. Trump accompanied the message with an AI-generated image depicting himself as Lieutenant Colonel Bill Kilgore from the Vietnam War film Apocalypse Now. In response, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker called the president a, quote, wannabe dictator. By Sunday, President Trump walked back his comments, telling reporters, quote, we're not going to war. We're going to clean up our cities, unquote. Meanwhile, thousands of Chicagoans took to the streets Saturday to protest Trump's plans to send ICE agents and federal troops to the city.
The National Guard and sending ICE agents here to our community is a direct threat to not only us, but our community. It is us, it is our neighbors, it is our friends, it affects everyone. Businesses have been dropping, restaurants have been dropping, everything has, people have been scared.
Over the weekend, the Department of Homeland Security announced it was launching new immigration raids in the Boston area. This comes after Boston Mayor Michelle Wu has repeatedly criticized Trump's attacks on Boston and other sanctuary cities. In Washington, D.C., thousands marched in the largest demonstration yet there against President Trump's deployment of National Guard troops and the federal takeover of the district's police force. The We Are All D.C. march was organized by a coalition of groups, which include Free D.C. and the American Civil Liberties Union. The Trump administration set to extend the deployment of National Guard troops in D.C. to December. Meanwhile, officials have dismantled part of a peace vigil outside the White House that had been running for more than four decades under Trump's orders to clear homeless encampments. Authorities reportedly mislabeled the vigil as a shelter. Meanwhile, here in New York Sunday, Trump was loudly booed by the crowd as he attended the U.S. Open men's final. The United States Tennis Association had sent a memo to broadcasters asking them to censor the crowd's reaction to Trump. South Korea announced it's sending a charter plane to the U.S. to bring back more than 300 of its citizens who were rounded up and detained by ICE at the Hyundai plant in Georgia. ICE officials arrested nearly 500 people, most of them South Korean nationals, Thursday at the Hyundai LG battery plant. Footage of the raid showed workers shackled in handcuffs and ankle chains and loaded onto buses. ICE officials have called it the largest enforcement operation in the agency's history. South Korea's foreign minister is expected to arrive in Washington today to discuss the release of the workers. The ICE raid comes as South Korea recently agreed to invest $350 billion in the U.S. in exchange for lower tariffs. In other immigration news, the Trump administration's threatening to send Maryland father Kilmar Abrego Garcia to the small African nation of Eswatini, formerly Swaziland, after he expressed fear of being deported to Uganda. Abrego Garcia, who's seeking asylum in the United States, first made headlines in March when he was wrongfully deported to El Salvador, where he was held in the notorious Sekat mega prison. On Friday, a federal immigration board at the Justice Department ruled undocumented immigrants living in the U.S. are not eligible to be released on bond. According to the ruling, immigrants could be detained, quote, for the duration of their proceedings, which could take years. Lawyers say the ruling would mean that millions of immigrants could be subject to mandatory detention, including longtime residents. One former immigration judge, Dana Lee Marks, told Politico, quote, it's a total cynical move to try to force people to litigate their cases while they're detained. On Sunday, Russia launched the largest drone assault against Ukraine since 2022, attacking the main government building in Kyiv for the first time. At least four people were killed in Russian strikes all over Ukraine, including a mother and her baby. Ukraine also launched airstrikes against Russia, killing three people. Speaking to reporters, President Trump said he's ready to impose a second round of sanctions against Russia, but gave no additional details. The Trump administration's ordered the deployment of 10 F-35 fighter jets to Puerto Rico as the U.S. threatens to carry out more strikes on Latin America under the guise of the war on drugs. Last week, the U.S. bombed a boat, killing 11 people off the coast of Venezuela. The Marines and Navy have also been carrying out military exercises in Puerto Rico, including amphibious landing exercises. This comes as CNN is reporting Trump's considering carrying out strikes against drug cartels inside Venezuela. On Friday, Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro warned the U.S. against taking any more military action.
The government of the United States should abandon its plan of violent regime change in Venezuela and in all of Latin America and the Caribbean and respect sovereignty, the right to peace, to independence.
Over the weekend, Vice President J.D. Vance dismissed accusations that the U.S. attack on the Venezuelan boat that killed 11 may have been a war crime if civilians were on board. Vance wrote on X, quote, I don't give a expletive what you call it. Republican Senator Rand Paul criticized Vance's comment, saying, quote, what a despicable and thoughtless sentiment it is to glorify killing someone without a trial, Rand Paul said. The New York Times revealed U.S. Navy SEALs took part in a failed top secret mission to install eavesdropping technology in North Korea in 2019. The mission was aborted when the SEALs were spotted by a boat near the North Korean coast. The SEALs opened fire on the boat, killing everyone on board, believed to be two or three North Korean civilians who were diving for shellfish. The Trump administration never notified key members of Congress about the top secret mission. In economic news, new figures from the Labor Department show just 22,000 jobs were created in August, far lower than expected. The overall unemployment rate rose slightly to 4.3%. The black unemployment rate jumped to 7.5%, its highest level in almost 4 years. Senator Bernie Sanders brought his Fighting Oligarchy tour to Brooklyn College in New York Saturday, where he campaigned with New York mayoral candidate Sohrab Mamdani. Sanders praised Mamdani's vision for New York.
And what Sohrab's campaign is about is an understanding that today we are living in an unprecedented moment in the modern history of our country. And we have got to fight back in an unprecedented way.
The Sanders-Mamdani rally comes as President Donald Trump is attempting to push New York Mayor Eric Adams to drop out of the mayoral race in an attempt to help boost Andrew Cuomo. The Trump administration has reportedly considered making Adams the ambassador to Saudi Arabia. The civil rights activist Joseph McNeil has died at the age of 83. In 1960, he and three other North Carolina A&T State University students launched a sit-in at a segregated Woolworth's lunch counter in Greensboro. They refused to leave the whites-only lunch counter after being denied service. Their action inspired a nationwide wave of sit-ins aimed at desegregating businesses and public spaces. And the acclaimed psychiatrist and author Robert J. Lifton has died at the age of 99. He was the author of more than 20 books about the effects of nuclear war, terrorism, and genocide. In 1967, Robert J. Lifton won a National Book Award for his work Death in Life, Survivors of Hiroshima. In 1986, he published the seminal book The Nazi Doctors, Medical Killing and the Psychology of Genocide. Robert J. Lifton appeared on Democracy Now! Several times, including in 2017, when he talked about Donald Trump.
Well, I wrote a letter together with Judith Herman to the New York Times in which we raised two issues. One was his relation to reality, which is, I would say, solipsistic and untenable and very dangerous to everyone.
What do you mean solipsistic?
Solipsistic from within the self. In other words, he only sees the world from within his sense of self. He can't have empathy for others. He can't really think into the future, the consequences of his actions, because he's totally preoccupied with the immediate event and how he can deal with it or manipulate it as emerging through the perception on the part of his sense of self.
To see all our interviews with Dr. Robert J. Lifton, go to democracynow.org. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show with President Trump's growing nationwide immigration crackdown as agents arrested dozens in and around Boston this weekend, and Trump's threatening more actions in Chicago and other so-called sanctuary cities this week. But in Georgia last Thursday, federal officials say they carried out the single largest single-site immigration enforcement action in history when they conducted an immigration raid on the construction site of a new electric vehicle battery plant. The facility is a joint venture by Hyundai Motor Group and LG Energy Solutions. Some 300 of the 475 arrested are Korean. This is DHS Secretary Tom Homan on CNN.
We're going to do more worksite enforcement operations because, number one, it's a crime to enter this country legally. Number two, it's a crime to knowingly hire an illegal alien. And these companies that hire illegal aliens, they undercut the competition as paying U.S. citizen salaries. Look, no one hires an illegal alien on the goodness of their heart. They hire them because they work them harder, pay them less, and undercut the competition that hires U.S. citizen employees. They drive wages down.
Over 500 federal, state, and local officials participated in the raid. The agencies involved included not just ICE and Border Patrol, but also the Department of Labor's Office of Inspector General, the FBI, the Drug Enforcement Agency, the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms and Explosives, the IRS, and the Georgia State Patrol. The construction site that was raided is in Ellabelle, Georgia, near Savannah, is part of Hyundai's massive 3,000-acre Metaplant campus. State officials say the $12.6 billion project is the largest economic development deal in Georgia's history. Hyundai also has a factory in Alabama and plans to invest $5 billion in a steel plant in Louisiana. This comes as South Korea's President Lee Jae-myung promised at least $50 billion of investments during his recent meeting with President Trump. The South Korean government's now sending a charter plane to pick up the hundreds of Korean workers after they negotiated their release. This is Kang Hun-sik, chief of staff to the president of South Korea.
As a result of swift and united efforts by government ministries, business groups and companies, talks with the United States for the release of the detained workers have been concluded. But what remains now are only administrative procedures, and once those are completed, a chartered plane will depart to bring our people home. To prevent a similar incident in the future, we will work with the Ministry of Trade, Industry and Energy and related companies to review and improve the residency status and visa systems for travelers on U.S.-related projects.
For more, we go to Savannah, Georgia, where we're joined by Meredith Yoon, litigation director for Asian Americans Advancing Justice Atlanta. Yoon is the daughter and granddaughter of Korean immigrants. Welcome to Democracy Now, Meredith. It's great to have you with us. If you can explain just what unfolded last Thursday.
Thanks so much, Amy. So the raid at the Hyundai mega site began around 9 or 10 in the morning last Thursday and lasted the entire day into the evening as late as 6:30 p.m. Approximately 475 people were detained, filling at least seven buses. The nationalities of those detained were mostly from South Korea, but individuals from Guatemala, Colombia, Chile, Mexico, Ecuador, and Venezuela also were detained. There are reports that some U.S. citizens, mostly younger workers, initially were subjected to investigatory detention. Some of them were released, and many of those detained had valid work permits. So far, everyone who the folks on the ground have been tracking has some kind of documentation.
Kind of indication that this was about to go down? I mean, this is historic, the largest single-site raid in the agency's history.
That's right. And from what we're hearing, the circumstances of the raid were just absolutely abusive, not only in their scope and just the sheer size of it, but the way that those the folks at the Hyundai plant were treated by law enforcement. Phones were taken from workers. People were pressured to sign papers. There are reports that tear gas was used and that agents on site were heavily armed. There were helicopters, drones, ATV, and other military-style vehicles that were there at the site. And from what we heard, ICE was blocking the exits from the facility, threatening force if workers did not surrender.
So can you then talk about what happened to the detained employees? Where were they sent? And the timing of this after the deals the U.S. is making with South Korea?
The majority of the workers who were detained on Thursday were taken to the Folkston ICE Processing Center, which is an ICE detention center in South Georgia near the Florida line. It has been operating as an ICE detention center since since 2017, but has existed as some sort of correctional facility since 1998. The facility has had repeated reports of abusive conditions, including medical neglect, lack of information about people's cases, as well as horrible conditions at the facility itself. In 2022, the Department of Homeland Security's Office of the Inspector General did an investigation of the facility and found multiple deficiencies and that the human rights of those being detained there were being violated. Those conditions continue into current times. And as to what people are facing. With respect to the timing of this enforcement action, it's just incredibly concerning to see as people like Governor Kemp are trying to, supposedly reach out to South Korean companies to develop the economy in South Georgia, that has been a big part of what's been publicly discussed. And then you see federal law enforcement in conjunction with state law enforcement, including the Department of Public Safety and the Georgia State Patrol participating together in this investigation is just incredibly concerning.
Mm. We played a clip of the border czar, Tom Homan, talking about going after these workers because they're taking Americans' jobs. He continually refers to illegal aliens. He talks about taking rapists and the worst murderers off the street. And he also talked about how it's illegal to employ what he calls illegal aliens. Were the owners of the plant, were those who were involved in this company, both Korean and American, arrested?
So far, we have not heard any reports that there have been any arrests or criminal arrests that have been executed as a result of this raid. What we have heard is that everyone who has been, civilly arrested by ICE has some sort of documentation, including valid work permits. We've heard reports of people who actually have pending asylum applications as well as work permits being arrested. So it's unclear why those individuals were detained.
It's interesting, headline out this week, and Trump is quietly preparing to travel next month to South Korea, where he could sit down with China's leader. He and his top advisors quietly preparing to go there in October for the APEC summit, the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation summit. The significance of this in preparation and what it means for any company who Trump is trying to lure to the United States to set up business.
It certainly is a disincentive to companies that want to invest in the United States. When you see large raids like this that are clearly intended to get a lot of public attention and cause intimidation, it seems at cross purposes with the supposed goal toward economic development.
Meredith Yoon, you are the daughter and granddaughter of Korean immigrants. How has this affected the Korean community with hundreds of people being detained and apparently deported soon at once?
The Korean community is deeply concerned and disturbed by these reports. It is disturbing to see hundreds of people arrested, shackled at their waist and ankles, and, loaded into buses and taken to an abusive detention center. So the Korean community is very concerned about the treatment of those who were arrested, as well as potential future raids that could impact the community.
Where do you head from here? Who is appealing to you at Asian Americans Advancing Justice Atlanta? Is the community totally desperate at this point? And does this shut the plant down, having almost 500 people taken away?
We have received many requests for assistance at my organization, many local organizations that are on the ground providing immediate support in the aftermath have, as you can imagine, received many requests for help. There is a coordinated response, both, who are supporting everyone detained, not only individuals from South Korea, but others as well, with immediate needs after the raid, food, financial support, as well as assistance with connecting with legal help. So those efforts are well coordinated and ongoing. And I'm sorry, the second part of your question.
We have to actually go, but I want to thank you very much for being with us. You're holding a news conference today?
Yes, we are at 11 o'clock.
Meredith Yoon, litigation director for Asian Americans Advancing Justice Atlanta. Yoon is the daughter and granddaughter of Korean immigrants. When we come back, the Israeli military has blown up at least 3 high-rise residential buildings in Gaza as Israel expands its operation to destroy the city and forcibly evict the city's 1 million residents. We'll go to Gaza for an update.
It's Christmas time in Washington. Democrats rehearse, getting in gear for 4 more years of things not getting worse. Republicans drink whiskey neat and thank their lucky stars. They say cannot seek another term there'll be no more FDRs. I sit home in Tennessee, staring at the screen, an uneasy feeling in my chest, wondering what it means. So come back, Woody Guthrie, come back to us now.
Christmas in Washington by Steve Earle, performing in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We turn now to Gaza, where the Israeli military's blown up at least three high-rise residential buildings in Gaza City as Israel expands its operation to destroy the entire city and forcibly evict its population of over 1 million residents. Israel's killed 28 Palestinians so far today. Officials say another 83 were killed over a 24-hour period ending Sunday. Residents of Gaza City say there's no safe place to go.
In regard to displacement,